You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. It is time for our Friday legend. And today, well, a man who has had a distinguished career in rugby league as a referee and being part of match committees as well since, hanging up the whistle, so to speak. He refereed, 267 games all up in top footy as far as first grade, origins, grand finals and test matches. That was between 1983 and his last game, incidentally, was the 1994 Grand Final won by the Raiders against the Dogs. He is also, in more recent times, the general manager of the Springwood Country Club there in the Blue Mountains and also a marriage celebrant. Greg McCallum, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone?
Going pretty well. Thanks so much for being our Friday legend this week. And it's been a big ref for referees in the news, but when isn't it, Greg?
Oh, yeah, look, Rugby league, isn't it? And the guys here would know any professional sport draws its attention, and rugby league, of course, has been in the spotlight ever since the virus hit us. And I suppose you've got to say how good it is that people are trying to get the game back on, and that's the important thing, I think, for everyone, not just the players and those that are close to the game.
Before we get into your career, Greg, what do you make of the changes that have been rubber-stamped this week?
Look, I think the decision to do that is based on economic situation. It's something that I've probably supported over the years, the return to one referee. But, look, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge now between now and the 28th. So I think we'll leave it to the experts to work all that out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are happy that it's going back to one referee, and that was the style and the way that the game was refereed when you were doing it. But I want to ask you, Greg, how did you get into refereeing? Did you play football, or when did you work out that being a referee was the role that you wanted to play in the game?
I was about my third or fourth choice to be involved in the game. I played junior rugby league and rugby union up until I was 20. Got glandular fever and was unable to play. Then coached for a year, but I coached the under sixes at Cromer. Unfortunately, one of the fathers was on the committee, so he took the team the next year. So that was my first experience of politics in rugby league. Sacked after 1 year. Then I went to the races one day, and there was a fellow there that coached me at school named Clive Rogers. He was 65. And he said, what are you doing with yourself? I said, missed out on coaching role. He said, well, become a referee. I just looked at him, stunned. And he said, look, I've just become a referee. I'm 65 years old this year, Greg. So he talked me into doing it and put me through the old-fashioned way of coaching on the board with the little men. I went and got my referee's ticket with Cole Pearce and then moved on from there.
Greg, I've got to ask, what was it like to referee Laurie Daly?
Mate,
go as hard as you like here, Greg.
He was in a good team, wasn't he? So it was all spread out, all the personalities.
That he was.
Look, I was really... it was just a great thrill to be involved in refereeing, but I was really, lucky in a way that I refereed in an era where the players just dominated on the field. There was very little stuff went on off the field. I think Laurie agreed with that, like it happens in recent years, I suppose. We just concentrated on playing footy. I was a teacher, so I was, during the week, busy teaching kids, attending parent-teacher nights, doing professional training, and then in between that I had to train to become a referee, or train to keep my referee fitness up. And we just turned up on the weekend and did the game. That was all there was to it. And we went out there with a fairly clear mind as regards to the teams we were playing. And I think that was one of the great pluses that we had. We just weren't, I suppose, overloaded during the week to go out and referee the games. And as I said, I was, lucky to be in an era where the players just dominated.
Yeah, Greg, as you mentioned, you grew up playing and coaching rugby league, so I have no doubt you have a team that you support. How do you separate that bias when you become a referee and you've got to look at every decision and every team on the exact same playing field? How do you go about separating that?
That's a great question. I grew up in the Manly area, and, and of course you come into grade and you start refereeing third grade, and when I got to reserve grade, I did Manly at Brookvale Oval one day, and whatever, I suppose, tendencies I had to have been a Manly supporter as I was growing up soon got knocked out when Bozo caught me in the tunnel and he said, when are you going to give us a fair go?
That would have been unlike Bozo, Greg.
just because you come from Manly doesn't mean you have to pick on us. So that was certainly knocked that out of me. But an interesting thing in England, when I went to England to coach in 1994, one of the things I found over there was you couldn't referee the area in which you came from. So if you came from Castleford, you couldn't referee Castleford. Mm. And, you know, I found that really interesting. That was okay up until the point where we tried to change it one year. And Russell Smith, who came out to referee here, I said to Russell, I said, you'd be right to referee Castleford. He said, oh, no way. I said, why is that? He said, well, I've got to get in the pub on a Sunday night. And if I referee Castleford, I get touched up. He said, I'll get touched up. That was the end of that. So they didn't change the system over there until a few years ago.
It's amazing. I always talk about the 90s, Greg, and how it was great to be a part of. And, you know, there wasn't as much a focus on the wrestle as it was, or as it is now. But it was a more free-flowing game. But we sort of worked with the referees a lot more. Have you watched and noticed the changes over the last couple of years? And what's your sort of biggest frustration between, say, referees and the way that the game is played? And is there something there that you think, oh, geez, I wish they weren't doing that or should be doing?
Oh, yeah. Look, I still watch it carefully and closely. The relationship we had with the players and I suppose the clubs was that we went out and did the game. They dealt with our coach. We were given certain instructions, and the instructions that I was given right through my career was that you were the person in charge of the game. You went out there and refereed it, and you did whatever you could to keep that control. And I suppose the frustration to me at the moment is the apparent, and I say apparent, influence or... I don't like to use the word intimidation because intimidation is quite a, you know, serious sort of wording to use. But that influence of trying to wear the referee down all the time. And I just felt over the last 4 or 5 years, the referees haven't been given the ammunition to deal with that. So therefore, they've had to stand there and appear to have to engage with the players. And one of the things that I've always said was that every conversation I had on the field with a player was started by me and finished by me. There was no conversation that took place where the player sort of bounded me up and said, no, this is how it's going to be. We just didn't tolerate that. And that was how we were coached off the field.
And I said that earlier. I said that earlier in the week, Greg, about referees. I said when we were getting refereed by Harrigan or Greg McCallum, the thing that I loved about it was they were confident and rightly or wrongly, it didn't matter whether the decision was right or wrong. You just moved on and you accepted it. There wasn't, you know, you might argue, but it was like, no, get away. I don't care. That's the decision. I've made it. I'm sticking with it. I see sometimes that's not the case with referees and they stand there and try and justify their decision with the player rather than saying, boys, I don't care what you're saying. Go. Just get out of my face. We're getting on with
it. Yeah, and I think that is the case, Laurie. I think you've got the situation where the players, the referees, I don't think have had that confidence to be able to just cut off the conversation. We had the 5 minute sin bin and it was the greatest asset that we had. Look, everyone agrees 10 minutes for a sin binning is far too long. It just destroys the balance of the game. But 5 minutes we found was really effective. And, you know, if you've got blocker in your ear just chipping away, you just say, blocker, going to be 5 minutes and say, okay, Greg, off he'd run. And he'd come back on 5 minutes later and say, sorry about that, Greg, I won't do that again. That high-pitched voice of his. But look, we had a good relationship. I had a great relationship with the players. We weren't mic'd up. There wasn't anything that you had to worry about that was being said. And I've got to say that the players, in no time in my period of the game, were abusive towards me, nor were they abusive towards my colleagues. It was just this relationship we had there. They kept pushing the envelope. We kept pushing it back. And we got the balance in the game. I think we got the balance of the game pretty well right in that period.
Greg, do you think technology's made it easier or harder for the referees?
Well, I've got to say it's made it a little bit harder, but I've got to take some responsibility, Michael. I created the video referee in England when I was working over there with Sky Sports in the UK. Yeah. I had to go and sell it to the clubs, and if I was trying to sell what the video referee turned into, I wouldn't have got past first base. They just would have sent me packing out the door. There was no way that they would have accepted it. It became all empowering. Can we get rid of it? No, we can't, because the technology is ingrained in sport these days around the world. Look, it has its good points. I think the one referee scenario with an effective bunker and the captain's call, I think it should work out okay. But I think we all suffer from the fact that the game became over-refereed, over-officiated, and the bunker was part of that. Or the video referee, I should say, was part of that. The bunker, I think, is probably a better system where you've got all that information in one place that you can make a decision, and people monitoring it through. But I think, you know, we've got to take responsibility, I suppose, for the game being the way it's played now. The technology was all empowering, and it was very hard to resist. Even back in the mid-90s, when I was over in England, when Sky Sports approached me to do it, it was really hard to resist it, because the information they were showing me was very accurate in terms of decision-making.
Greg, is there a game that stands out of all the games you officiated in your career? And if so, why does it stand out?
I think you go through different stages. I refereed Test Match before I refereed Origin, before I refereed a Grand Final. So each of those stages was really important to me. I refereed at an Origin in 88 in front of 16,000 people at the Sydney Football Stadium. You wouldn't believe an Origin could be played in front of only 16,000 people. Mm. That was an important game for me. Test Match in New Guinea was interesting.
Why was that?
I nearly electrocuted myself in the dressing room before I went out. For some reason, I wore a blazer to New Guinea. Like, who wears a blazer in New Guinea?
Even the professional.
Somewhere, and the guy said, hang it on that wire there. So I went to put it on the wire, and the wire was live. It sizzled the blazer and nearly killed me before I even got the referee.
Oh, dearie me.
So that was interesting. But, look, I did an Origin game. Laurie will probably remember it. It was Origin 3 in 1993. It was a dead rubber game. And New South Wales and Queensland, New South Wales had won the series 2-0. And the test team was going to be picked on the day after the Origin game. So there was a lot of build-up in the game. Because it was a dead rubber, everyone was talking about the test series coming up. And Martin Bella and the chief, Paul Harrigan, were competing for a position, as was Benny and Steve Walters. And, of course, the scrum blew up about 20 minutes into the game. And Martin Bella thought he'd take on the chief, and the chief gave him a hammering. And I put the two of them in the bin. Then I sent Benny and Steve Walters into the bin as well. And then they all came back on together because they were all sent to the sin bin at the same time. We had a scrum packing down, and this sort of sums up what the game was like. We were running to the game and running to the scrum, and Steve Walters, Marty Bella, Paul Harrigan got there, and Benny was taking his time to get to the scrum. And Steve turned around and said, "Hurry up, Benny, I've got a test to play next week." I thought to myself, "Oh, geez." And it was just—it was a dead rubber. It was Bob Linner's last game. Queensland were dirty; they'd lost the series, and it just had this edge to it. The game, right from the kickoff, right through that period, right up till the end of the game, they were at each other. And the other thing about the most difficult game,
and the other thing about Origin, and I can only imagine because the players, it was such a fast game, but for referees, you know, the intensity and the speed that the game is played at, you would have been exactly like the players. You would have been just spent and absolutely buggered at the end of the game.
Yeah, and you were almost half spent before the game, weren't you, Laura? Like the preparation and the build-up, and even in the dressing room before the game, there's a different feeling about it. And when you get out there, it is fast, you know, and often in some games you can sort of, your eyes wander around, you can see there's 20 minutes to go or whatever. But in Origin, first time you look up, it's at half time. That's how fast it is. And But the good thing about Origin is that you've got all of the terrific, highly talented, informed players mostly together on the field. And all they want to do really is play footy. And that's why Origin is such a great product. And I think that's because the players just want to play the footy, get out there and play. And as referees, you've got to go out there and do your best too to make sure there's a good game of footy. Keep your penalties down. Eric Cox, the great person involved in rugby league for 50 years, used to say, you know, minimise your penalties and make sure you try and finish with the game with 13 on 13. That was his advice he gave to us.
Greg, is there one player that you look back on and have the ultimate respect for in the way they played the game, the way they communicated with you on and off the field, and you hold them above the rest?
Oh, look, as I said, I refereed in a great era, Michael, and all the guys went out there and played footy. They weren't out there to try and get over the top of me or whatever. There is one guy, though, that probably doesn't get the raps that he deserved throughout his career, but I thought he was just, in his position, one of the most talented players, and that was Steve Renoff. I just thought Steve, just the pace that he had, that swerve, fantastic palm. And once he got the ball, he was one of those players that the crowd got to their feet. Every time he got the ball, then people got to their feet to look at it. And I know Laurie played against him many times. He was just a wonderful player and treated everybody with respect. And, and he played in a team that probably rubbed a lot of referees up the wrong way, the Broncos at times. They had this sort of single-minded attitude. And I spoke to referees many times while I was refereeing and afterwards, and they said, you know, the Broncos had a bit of an edge. But I always found Steve Renoff amongst all the players there to be the most respectful of players.
Yeah, he was deceptively strong too.
He was.
Yeah, he had a good right-arm fend. And the Broncos, and this would have been a challenge for the referees as well, Greg, and for yourself. They'd use the ball. So basically on tackle one or tackle two, if you weren't set, they would just move the ball. So it'd go to Kevy, to Alf, and Alf, or the other way around, and they'd throw a long pass to Stevie Renoff, and he'd try and look at getting on the outside of his opponent. And they just made it a fast game, the Broncos. They were all about moving the ball, and he was. He was such a wonderful player when he got into space. And you're right, he probably didn't get the credit that he deserved off a lot of people. But I tell you what, when you marked him, it was always a challenge, tough challenge.
I can imagine. And 92-93, they were the champion side. And 92, no one would have beaten them. 93, the Dragons probably, had the opportunity to knock them over, but couldn't on the day. And then, of course, to beat them, the side had to come along like your side, Laurie, in 94. Similar sort of structure. You had Ricky Stewart throwing 30-metre passes onto your chest. Amazing to be involved in footy when you see that sort of stuff. And the players today, Laurie, the players are great athletes today. You know, the way they score tries and get into the corner and all that sort of thing. But I think the engineering of the tries back in the era of the 90s was the thing that stood out, you know, how tries were engineered. And, to throw 30-metre passes onto people's chests, you just don't see that today.
Now, Greg, Middo has to get it off his chest. He's a North Sydney supporter, and he's never forgiven you, he tells me, the day you sent off Gary Larson.
Well, yes, that was an interesting day, wasn't it? Again, that was a game that was really teetering. North really stood up to the Raiders that day. The Raiders had been beaten the week before by the Bulldogs in extra time in the major semi, and North had beaten the Broncos on the way through. And so, it was fully on, that game, and we had a couple of incidents early on. Tony Hearn, there was a high tackle I put on report, and then John Lomax laid out Billy Moore, I think it was. And then Gary Larson, unfortunately, picked up David Ferner and drove him headfirst into the ground. So when you're refereeing the game, you're sort of out there, you've got to react to what happens, and both players got sent off. Johnny Lomax cost him a grand final, and Gary Larson, of course. But the person who has forgiven me, even though Middo may not, is Peter Louie. Peter Louie was the coach of North, and I worked with Peter for 10 years on the match review committee. So The first couple of years were a bit tetchy in there. the last few years, we got on really well. And they were a great side. I've been watching them recently on some of Fox Sports replays. They played some great footy in that middle 90s period and were probably very unlucky not to have won a competition.
Yeah, no, it's... Bears fans.
Come on, Mido. What did you say?
Get it out, Mido.
You would have been there. You would have been into him going, McCullum, you got no idea. What did you do that
absolutely
for? Just got us the grand final.
Absolutely spewing. And he knew from that minute we were stuffed. And that proved to be the case. And it just summed up the Bears in the 90s.
Mido, did you pay to get into the ground that day?
I was at home. I was out at home near Orange. I'll never forget it, though. I want to ask you, Greg, about your post-refereeing career, though, and particularly your life as a marriage celebrant. And our own Jono, obviously, has engaged your services. And, it must be such an amazing thing to do every, Saturday or Sunday afternoon to, basically be there for the best day in people's lives. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it is. It's great. When you meet them the first time, you get a feeling, and they get a feeling for you that it's the right match. They've made their match. They've got to now make the match with the celebrant. And I've had a lot of great experiences. It's been really good for me because refereeing was such a big part of my life and the network of people I met and, sort of interacted with were all rugby league people. So it was nice to start meeting people outside of rugby league as well. And I've met many people from different walks of life. We've had weddings all over New South Wales. One day you're at, up on the 35th floor of a building overlooking Circular Quay, and the next day you're out at the back of Lithgow doing a wedding out on a farm. It's just an amazing experience. And the biggest contact I've had through that was through all of the young people that I taught. At the various primary schools I was at, who have all grown up and made contact with me to engage them. So that's been nice. And a flow on from that, which is probably a different sort of atmosphere, is that I've done a lot of their parents' funerals, So that's been an interesting chapter in the last 4 or 5 years that I've been involved in conducting funerals. So,
and you also did Lance Thompson's funeral, is that right?
Yeah, I did Lance's funeral. It was a massive funeral, that one. An outpouring of grief I've never seen at a funeral has happened that day with his young family there. And Lance was a terrific player, and I knew him before that. I knew him involved when I was doing some work at Cronulla with the reserve grade side there, and he came on and coached the side for the second half of the season. And he just had this ability to connect with people. It was very sad, the circumstances in which he passed away, and to be able to do the funeral was a great honour. I did Mark Harris's funeral earlier in the year. That, again, was a really outpouring of grief from the rugby league community because of the Eastern Suburbs connection. And you're just pleased that people have the confidence to hand you over what's a really important job, whether it's a wedding or a funeral. It's a great honour to be involved. Yeah, I've had a very fortunate life on and off the field.
Yeah, it's certainly a credit to you, Greg, and it's been great to get an insight into your life in both refereeing and beyond since, and been great to talk to you and have you as our Friday legend this week.
Been my pleasure. Thank you.